Yes, I mean it all my heart. When we hear from a missionary, we're hearing from the front lines. I mean, we're on the mission field here as well, but this is our home. This is where we live. These are our people. These are our friends. But to come from Russia off the mission field to our church, that's off the front lines. And these folks know what the real world's like out there. And they've been where we haven't been. And they've seen what we cannot see. And so it's exciting today. It's with joy I introduce to you Brother Oswardy, missionary from Russia, reaching the Russian people. And I'm excited about that. Our brand newest missionary. Give him a big welcome to our pulpit this morning. Preacher, come. Glad to have you with us today.
Thank you very much. I'm excited about being one of your missionaries. I'm honored and humbled, and I don't know what else to say. Just thank you very much. We'll put you on our mailing list right away. Get our prayer letters to you. We try to do a prayer letter about it once every 2 months, and I just ordered some new prayer cards. We ran out, so I'll send you a good stack of prayer cards for all the people to have one, and put it on your refrigerator or someplace else that you visit frequently, and we'll be glad to have your prayers. A lot of times when missionaries are on furlough, they'll get a message together and use the same one over and over again. That's okay when you're traveling, you can do that. I've got a brand new one this morning, so I'm going to give you that this morning. I thought this is what the Lord wanted me to say. I was reading through parables the other day, and there was a thought that just kind of came to me that I think it'll be a blessing to you this morning. Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 20, we're going to start at Matthew chapter 20. Spend most of our time there. Matthew chapter 20. I'm calling. You know, you put a title on a message to make people, you know, get interested in what it's going to be about. And I'm calling this message "Slackers Wanted," or "God is looking for a few good slackers," or "Now hiring slackers." Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 20. "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. They went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they that came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and likewise they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen." This is a curious story, interesting story. It's got a lot of different applications you could make of it. To really understand the primary, you know, you look at a lot of these parables and scripture passages, and there is always a primary application, what the main meaning, the primary interpretation of the passage. And then there's always many, many other applications that can be properly made with the scripture. To get the primary application, we had to back up a little bit to Matthew chapter 19. I'm not going to go through the whole story for sake of time. But Matthew chapter 19, you meet the rich young ruler. There was a guy who was very rich. He came to Jesus Christ and basically said, what do I got to do to be saved? And Jesus knew that his heart was not honestly seeking, and he kind of asked him some leading questions to kind of expose what really was in his heart. Jesus already knew. But so that we would know, Jesus asked him some questions about, he said, keep all the commandments. And the guy said, well, what commandments? And Jesus gave him a list. He says, I've already done all that. So we already know the guy wasn't really serious, because nobody keeps all the commandments like they're supposed to. And then Jesus said, all right, give away everything you own. Give it to the poor. Come follow me, and you'll have rewards in heaven. And the guy said, oh, man, I don't like that answer. So he turned around and left. And Jesus said it's hard for rich people to be saved. And the disciples were amazed because back in those days, people respected the rich. Because back in those days, they understood Bible principles that people who work hard and use their God-given talents to be successful, they are to be respected and not hated and envied. And the disciples even said, if rich people can't get saved, who can be? You wouldn't hear that today. But back in Bible days, they had things figured out better than we do. And then Jesus said, with man it's impossible, with God all things are possible. And if you're open there to chapter 19, verse 27, Peter asks kind of a bold question, kind of an impertinent question. Peter said, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? I have a sermon I preach from that passage of Scripture where, Peter watched this rich guy unwilling to leave all and follow Christ turn and walk away. And Peter thought, hey, wait a minute. I left everything I had. I had a fishing business and I walked away from my boats, my nets. And as Peter often did, whenever he had a thought, he opened his mouth and spoke it. And he said, hey, Jesus, I left everything. What do I get? Yeah. Now, if I'd have been Jesus, I'd have said, Peter, how dare you ask that question, you know, smite him or whatever. But Jesus answered him very kindly, and he said, basically verse 29, everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Jesus says, you're going to get paid off. Don't worry about it. And it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be far more than you really earned. And he launches directly from that into this parable. So this parable, the primary interpretation has to do with the rewarding that God gives to those who serve Him in His field. Now, there's, like I said, there's a lot of applications. I could, if I want to, I could go off into a political rant about free enterprise, capitalism, and private property rights. Here in Matthew chapter 20, you have a private property owner making his own decisions about when to plant, grow, harvest, and hire workers. He had freedom to decide who to hire, when, and what to do with his own property. There were no minimum wage laws. He responded to market forces that brought him the maximum return on his investments. Like I said, I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail, but maybe just a little one for a few minutes. The successful, and this is Bible principles. I mean, this is not just, I'm not just giving you a conservative political rant, although I am kind of conservative politically. If you lived where I've lived for the last 13 years, you couldn't help but realize what liberal ideas do to a nation. The successful are almost always that way because of God's blessing on hard work and intelligent choices. Now, it's a Sunday morning. I know it's not a political rally, but I've lived for the last 13 years in the former Soviet Union. So when I see America falling into the widespread acceptance of socialist propaganda, I can't help but say something. Okay? Socialism. Socialists refuse to accept the idea that those who earn should keep what they earn. That's a Bible principle. That's in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. What does that mean? That's private property. People who earn own what they earn, and no one should steal it from them. What about thou shalt not covet? No, that is the root of communism, socialism, all those evil political doctrines, is covetousness. Someone else has maybe a little more than I have, so I want that. I want what God gave to somebody else. Coveting is wanting for yourself what God gave to somebody else. Wanting for yourself something that God did not give to you. All right? So Socialists refuse to accept the idea that those who earn should keep what they earn. I think it's a shame that some government hack has to stand between the businessman and his customer and take a cut of the transaction. Don't you just hate that? You go down to Walmart, you're in the checkout line, and you've got your merchandise that you want to buy. They have merchandise that they want to sell you. And you've got money that you want to hand to the Walmart thing. And if you check your receipt after you're done, you will see that there was a government bureaucrat that stood in between the two of you and said, "Hey, I need some of that." What did you do? I earned that. They worked hard to make it available for me to buy. Why should I give you, what is it, 6, 7, 8%? I don't know what they take in Illinois. Then there's federal, and it's all hidden in there. You end up giving it about half. By the time all those hidden taxes are built in there, some government guy standing there and say, "Hey, I need a piece of that." And that's always bothered me. But that's a socialist idea. Those who do not earn are taught by socialist activists that they should have a share of what the entrepreneur has earned. Socialists always hate the Bible because the Bible teaches otherwise. Now, we have all been infected by socialist ideas. We get it on television, we get it on the radio, it's in the papers, it's everywhere, it's in our society. We're permeated with it. That bothers me and scares me. When you hear talk about the 99% who demand a share of what the 1% have, you are hearing socialism. When you hear the term social justice, that is socialism. When an American politician, I won't name any names, says, "You don't become successful because you work hard or because you're smart. You're successful because the government made it possible. They built you the roads." That's socialism. Now, if that is true, that what you earn, you didn't really earn. I mean, the government was there the whole time, just making it easy for you. If that's true, then you don't have a right to keep what you earn. Since society made your success possible, society has the right to take your wealth away from you. That's what that kind of talk leads to. All right, socialism is demonic. It killed 120 million people in the 20th century. Just do your homework. 120 million people in the 20th century were killed by socialism in different forms. Communism is an advanced form of socialism. Hitler's Nazism was a form of socialism. All right, that was a rabbit trail. I'm back now. Okay, take the on-ramp. I'm back on the main highway now. This parable of the laborers in the vineyard has a great application about rewards. God rewards all of His servants. He will never be in debt to any man. You'll never serve God and when it's all over with say, "Man, I could have done so much better if I just hadn't served God. God really cheated me. He cheaped out on me and I could have done so much better some other way." You'll never say that if you serve God. God will reward all of His servants bountifully. All who serve will be rewarded richly. Those who started later in life, you have people that joined the work crew all the way through the day. Those who joined later in the day, you can make an application there about people who started serving the Lord later in life. You have just as much opportunity to earn a reward as those who started in the church nursery. Those who started coming to this church this year can be just as important a part of the work here as those who have been here 20 years or more. There are no seniority rights in the work of God. No hierarchy. If you want to serve, you can get in. Sometimes the ones who have been working the field for a while start to take it easy when new workers come. Shame on you. Get back to work. You don't get to back off a little bit just because some new people come in. You keep doing what you were doing. We're all in this together. Here's another application. Those who have less talent and ability, they can achieve God's will for their lives and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," from their Lord, just as much as those who have many talents. Remember, to whom much is given, much is required. God gave you a lot to serve with. You're responsible for everything God gave you. It could be somebody who doesn't have the mental capacity or the physical capacity to do what you can do. They might be able to just do as much as they can, but they'll get rewarded just as much as you will. And you might get less of a reward if you don't use what God gave to you. A lot of applications here about the workers in the vineyard. Those who did not have the opportunity for as much education can still serve God and receive a full reward, maybe just as much as those with many degrees and college and university education. Here's another great application in this story. We should mind our own business when it comes to what God does for anybody else. Remember Peter and John, after Jesus rose from the dead and met with them on the Sea of Galilee? Jesus went with Peter and took a walk with him, and they had kind of a private chat because Peter had a special job he was going to be assigned. And Jesus told Peter, when it's all over with, they're going to carry you out. You're going to die in my service. And Peter thought, wow. And he looked over and saw John. He said, Jesus, what about John? What's he going to do?
Yeah.
Jesus said, what's that to you? That's none of your business. You just take care of what I gave you. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of him. Mind your own business. God blesses somebody else, maybe seemingly more than He's blessing you. Don't look at God and say, hey, how about that guy? How come you give him so much? You know, he's got a better, he's got a nice car, and he's got a nice house, and he's got lots of success in his ministry. And you know, God says to you, mind your own business. That's that good application here. These people at the end of the day, they were getting paid off. They were getting their reward for what they did. They were getting a fair and gracious reward for what they had served. And they're looking around saying, hey, how come he gets so much? He didn't do as much as I did. What did the Lord tell him? Mind your own business. That's good application. I like that one in there. What is that to thee? Jesus said, rejoice when someone else seems to be blessed more than you are. That'd be happy somebody else has if it looks like they got it better than you do. Praise the Lord. God, keep on blessing them. That's my brother in Christ. And you don't know the whole story anyway. Those are all good applications. But here's one I want to focus on this morning. God is obviously represented by the master of the vineyard. He calls, assigns, and rewards the workers. Obviously, that's God in the story. The workers, obviously, are representative of God's people, the ones who are doing the work in God's field. Let me say this morning that the first people that God called to work were the Jews. You go back, they were in on God's plan from the very beginning. You follow back the plan of salvation as we know it. I mean, I know you can trace it all the way back to the Garden of Eden. But the plan of salvation as we know it really started with Abraham and the Jews and the nation of Israel from which would come Christ and all of that. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were called in the early morning of God's work day. God says, I've got a world that needs to be saved. I've got a field that needs to be harvested. And the first guys he called to get to work in his vineyard were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was about 4,000 years ago. That's early morning in this story. They got in there, they got to work. Now I know in the story, in real life they served their time and they died. Okay, but they were in on the harvest from the very beginning. And they're all going to be there when payday comes. At the end of the day, when the rewards are handed out, all these workers are going to be there. We'll go back to Abraham and start the line there. So they were the early morning. Talks about he hired them early in the morning. They did the heavy lifting of faith. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a church. They didn't have a pastor, but they trusted God and did His work. They did what they were supposed to do. And because of that, the plan of salvation could move forward and the harvest could be reaped in this world. Now, later in the day, if you want to look at this whole, let's go back 4,000 years to Abraham. You've got a 4,000 year harvest day, and we've just been working on it all these years. Later in the day came Moses and Joshua, then Gideon, Samuel. These were all, they came at their time. They didn't get in on it till a little bit later. Okay? We could say that this was the third hour of the day. In the parable, he went and he got some more at the third hour. Now, back then, the workday started at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they went till 6 o'clock at night. It was a 12-hour workday. So Abraham, he's 6 o'clock in the morning. He's in the very first row of workers. You go about 3,000 years ago. We'll say that's the middle of the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning. Then you have David. There's David. David comes along, serves his own generation by the will of God. We'll say that's the third hour, the middle of the morning. Later comes Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel. All these guys serve the Lord to accomplish His will. and gather the harvest. As always, God's plan was to gather the harvest, and they all did their part. Now, 2,000 years ago, Jesus comes along. Of course, He's the Lord of the harvest. He doesn't really get counted in with the laborers, but He did some calling of workers. We'll say that's the sixth hour, middle of the day, high noon. And He calls His apostles. Peter, James, John, all those guys, He said, follow Me. He called the workers and said, I have a harvest to gather. I want you to work in My field. And they did. We can say that was the sixth hour, the middle of the day. So far, all the workers in the field had been Jews. Abraham, all the way up to the apostles, they're all Jews, every one of them. Now, then, sometime in the first century, something strange happened. God chose to call Gentiles to work in His field. The Jews had rejected the gospel of Christ as a nation. And most of them, for the last 2,000 years, have had a spiritual veil of blindness over their eyes. Now, so nobody misunderstands me. Don't for a minute accept the unscriptural theory that God is done with the Jews. There are those who teach that God has replaced the Jews with the Christians, the Gentile Christians. That is not scriptural. That's called replacement theology. When you hear that, reject it. It's not in the Bible. It's not true. God still has a plan for Israel. The land of Israel still belongs to the Jews. It doesn't belong to any Arabs or Palestinians. Every square inch of that land belongs to the Jews. And the day is coming when they will turn to Christ and be saved. We'll be gone by then, but that day is coming. Now, for the last 2,000 years, most of the workers that God has found to work in the field have been Gentiles. He went out at the ninth hour. Now, that would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We'd say that's like 1,000 years ago. You look back over the last 2,000 years and you see some of the workers that God has called, some great workers. Guys like John Huss, who was burned at the stake. Guys like John Wycliffe, who translated the Bible into English. Martin Luther, who took a stand in Germany. William Tyndale, who printed the Bible. John Bunyan, who went to prison in England for refusing to accept a license to preach. How many years? I should have looked it up. He spent years and years in prison. Baptist preacher, John Bunyan. Ridley Latimer, burned at the stake in England for preaching. David Livingstone went to Africa. Suffered horrible things in Africa to bring the gospel. Adoniram Judson, locked up in prison in Burma for years. D.L. Moody, who went across America preaching the gospel. Great workers, I would say, at the third hour. And then, you know, I mentioned some of these names, and I'm afraid that some, especially younger people, they have no idea who these people are. You need to turn off your TV, turn off your iPhone, turn off your internet for a while and read some history. Find out who we are and who we have been over the years as God's people. You need to know these stories of these people that went before us. And so now we come to the 11th hour. It was a 12-hour shift, so there was only 1 hour to go. Now, even though it was this late in the day, the master was still intense about gathering in the harvest. He didn't say, well, you know what, we've only got an hour to go, who cares, you know, we have enough. No, he said, we've got to get in every last bit of that harvest we can. I don't want any of it to go to waste, it's valuable. You know the application, the harvest is souls of men, people who are dying and going to hell, and every single one of them is valuable. And I think we all understand that we are right up at the end before Jesus Christ comes back. The master was still intense about gathering in the harvest. That may be the most important truth in this parable, the urgency of the master to get the harvest in before it's too late. The night cometh when no man can work. So the master looks for more workers at this late hour. The others have borne the load and the heat of the day, but there are still some that have not been hired. Now, who are these guys? Well, I think it's obvious that history is coming to a close. The world is racing full speed to a financial, moral, and political train wreck. If you have any understanding of the times at all, if you do any reading about what our government is spending and the debt load, and it boggles your mind. It is absolutely impossible for this to end well. And it's going to happen very fast and very soon. Now, I hope the Lord comes back before it really gets bad. But He didn't promise to come back, you know, before it gets bad. I mean, He promised to come back before the worst starts. And we'll be out of here before the tribulation, but it could get pretty bad before the tribulation starts. It's been bad before. I mean, some of you may have lived through the Great Depression. It was bad before. And we're heading for that now. I mean, I'm not an expert, but I've studied enough to know that I don't see any way out of this. We are heading for disaster. Without divine intervention, a disaster is inevitable. And when the crash comes, the Antichrist will be the only one with the answers. It's just about over. It is the 11th hour, I believe. Now, I don't know when he's coming. But if I understand anything about the Bible, if I understand anything about history and current events, it is just about over. This is the 11th hour. These people who the Master hired at the 11th hour, that's us. The Lord still desperately wants us to come work for Him. We are represented in this parable in a not very flattering way. Who does He have to pick from at this 11th hour? Slackers. Deadbeats. Loafers. Got another word? I tried to look up some synonyms there. You get the picture. It's not a very pretty picture. We're not really that. I mean, when you look around at Christianity today, we're not the best that's ever been. Don't flatter yourselves. You read a little history and you just got to bow your head and say, "Oh, Lord, I fall so short." People come to me and they say, "Oh, you're so wonderful. You go to Russia and you leave and you suffer." And I'm like, "It's really not that bad. I've read history." Okay? You don't even have an automobile in Russia. I don't have a car in Russia. I take buses and trains and I can call a taxi and go anywhere in town for $3. I don't see myself, having read history, there's no way I can see myself as being a sufferer. One who has borne the load. I'm coasting. I mean, compared to what the rest of these workers, I mean, look, I'm going to stand shoulder to shoulder with Abraham and Moses and David Livingston, and we're all going to receive our reward, and I'll be like, "Hi." You know, I'm not going to feel like, "Boy, this is my crowd, boy. I've really suffered." I'm going to be embarrassed to be in their company. But God wants me to work for Him. Desperately wants me to work for Him. We're not much to choose from. But you know what God is hiring right now? God's hiring some slackers. Whatever you are, God wants you desperately to get to work in His vineyard. We're not going to bear the load in the heat of the day. That's been done already. But there is still some harvest that needs to be gathered, and we can have a part, and we must have a part, and God desperately wants us to have a part. Now, these guys in the parable, they have not been available for work until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. This guy's been going to the marketplace all day long, every few hours, looking for somebody, and these guys have not been there. 5 o'clock, did they just get up at 4:30? "Oh, well, I think I'll go see what's going on today." They stand around with their hands in their pockets. And the master says, "What are you doing here standing around idle?" I said, "Oh, nobody hired us." And the master says, "They're not much to work with, but I got to get that harvest in. Please come work for me. I'll make it worth your while." That's the offer we have today. I don't flatter myself in thinking that I'm one of the great Christians. They'll never write a book about me and put me on the same level with all them other guys I mentioned. God wants me to work for Him. He don't have much to pick from at this time. He's only got a few slackers standing around with their hands in their pockets, and He just wants us to come on. Maybe you don't know how to work as well as Abraham or Moses or Joshua, but you can gather some harvest. God desperately wants you to gather some harvest. Can you imagine? I read the biographies of the great servants of the past, and I'm ashamed in comparison. They faced hardship, torture, poverty. What have I done? Can you imagine the conversations in heaven? You know, you're standing around, you know, they have like a potluck in heaven, you know, and everybody's standing around fellowshipping. And you say, "Boy, I had a rough time on earth. Saturday it was 90 degrees when I was out visiting my bus route. Somebody slammed the door in my face. When I stopped at McDonald's, they were out of chicken McNuggets. I had to have a cheeseburger. It was bad. I was suffering. When I got home, my internet connection was running slow. I had it rough. By the way, what's your name? I'm John the Baptist. They cut my head off. Ooh. How about you? I'm David Livingston. I was mauled by a lion. Tropical diseases. Ooh. How about you? I'm Adoniram Judson. I was in a filthy prison for years. They hung me by my feet with only my head and shoulders touching the ground. My first and my second wives died on the mission field, several of my children. And we'll say, well, you know, I thought I had it rough. But still, God wants you. God wants to hire you. You're all of us together, collectively, we're just a bunch of slackers compared to what came before us. But let's get in the harvest. Let's gather something. God desperately wants us to. Our Laodicean Christianity, if you know what that means, pales in comparison to those of other earlier ages. In comparison, we are slackers in the marketplace, but the Master wants us to get to work. Time is short. The task is urgent. Don't think too highly of yourself, but get busy for God. Do something. Amazingly, we will share the reward in such a way that those who bore the heaviest load might be tempted to complain. Can you imagine David Livingston? I mean, that guy went through for 50 years attacks of lions and pygmies and tropical diseases and everything, and he's standing there in line to get his reward. And we get rewarded first, if I read the parable right. And, Don Alsawardi, come forward. Yes, sir. Here's your reward. Wow. David Livingston's like, what's he getting that for? I know what he went through. His train was late one time, in Russia. Oh, he suffered. Had to eat another box of KFC before he could leave the train station in Moscow. And David Livingston, if I read this right, he gets like the same thing I get. I mean, if it weren't for his glorified body and his saved soul and everything, he would be tempted to complain. That's how much I'm going to get. That blows my mind.
Yes, sir.
God is gracious and God is good. All the time. Let's get in the harvest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you allow us to work for you. We're not worthy. We don't measure up to those that served you in earlier ages. But Lord, there's a harvest that only we can gather. These others are gone. You've got to have us to gather it or it won't get gathered. Whether it's in Russia, some other mission field, here in Pittsfield, where we work, where we live, our neighborhoods, our families, our relatives. Lord, there's a harvest that we must gather, and you want us to go to work for you. Lord, help us to say, here am I, send me. God bless us. Help us to make the decisions we should make this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This morning we heard the truth in a clear, simple way. He wants everybody. All of us. All we got to do is surrender. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Would you stand with me this morning as the ladies begin to play?